Here is another quick take with the Real Estate Law Podcast. My name is Jason Muth, one of the hosts. Pride Away Stays, straightforward short-term rentals. That's where you could find me. We're talking 1031 exchanges in this quick take. We spoke with our friend Sean Martin, who is a real estate investor in Colorado by way of New Zealand, had the most delightful accent throughout the entire episode. And he's done a lot of 1031 exchanges. Now, you might not know what that is if you are a rookie or novice in the real estate world. If you are a seasoned investor, you definitely know what 1031 exchanges are. But it's basically a tax deferment strategy. So you're not paying any capital gains taxes right now on an investment if you want to sell it and roll that into another investment. So instead of having like a taxable event that takes money off the table and sends it to Uncle Sam, you're basically rolling all the profit that you got on a property into another investment. Has to be like kind, and there's some other restrictions and rules as to how long you can keep that money in between properties. But give a listen to some of the strategies that Sean has employed over his real estate investing career with 1031 exchanges. And, you know, check in the show notes, more information about Sean and more information about 1031 exchanges if you want to learn more about what that process is like and how to get some tax deferred gains and be able to realize those sometime in the future.
Now, you did mention that you've done a bunch of 1031 exchanges for some of your properties. Like, do you know about how many you've done? You know, what's that experience been like?
Tens, not hundreds, but the experience is pretty smooth and always gets me very excited. If the IRS is listening, I am not avoiding taxes. I am deferring my tax payments. You never want to avoid, you're not allowed to avoid taxes. I guess that's a bad word. You're deferring. But I was very lucky. I was on a Facebook group. I reached out to them and said, anyone got a good 1031 guy? I was introduced to a gentleman named Scott, and I haven't shopped around since. You know, there are cheaper guys, there are more expensive guys, but he is the guy that works every time. I have a property, if I'm selling it or buying it, I shoot him an email and say, we're going to run a 1031, and he drives the entire real estate transaction after that. He takes over. He contacts the title company, organizes all the documents at closing. I'm not allowed to touch the money, of course. So at closing, he has the money directed into his account. We'll just call it his account. And then I tell him which property we'll want to use that money for. And he then purchases that property for us in that name or in our name. It's that simple. And then the beauty being, we don't have to pay that capital gains tax right then. We can pay it later. So therefore, we can make more money with that money. That's the idea of the 1031 for those listening, is that you can reinvest that money instead of giving it to the government right then. I mean, eventually it has to get paid. My goal actually is just to borrow, continually borrow against the asset. So it's going to be somebody else's problem further down the line. But yeah, so a 1031 is a great product for people that are looking to trade. Yeah.
Rory and I have talked a lot about tax deferment strategies. I mean, like, you know, since he's a real estate attorney, he's seen it. I mean, a lot of your clients, if you're working with wills or you're working with people that have had property for a long time, I mean, you know, tax deferment is certainly a strategy that is within the IRS code. I'm not an accountant, but, you know, we could all read the same code from irs.gov. And that's all you're doing. You're paying your taxes. You're just deferring the taxes on this particular property. And, you know, it sounds as though the 1031 exchange has probably been a powerful tool for you to continue growing your real estate portfolio.
Absolutely. It's allowed us to go to different cities, buy better properties. I mean, it's still work. So don't just, you know, start 1031-ing everything. I mean, you have to still run the numbers.
Rory, maybe you could explain the 1031 exchange to everybody as well, because technically you can do this with horses, can't you?
You can. It's like kind of exchange. So, you know, art dealers can trade artwork and sell artwork and use a 1031 exchange to buy a like kind, which would be another piece of art. But in the context that we all know and love, it is real estate. So if you're selling a property and you have a capital gain on it and you just don't want to pay it right now, you can roll the money into a new property. If you don't touch the money and if you follow the time standards to get into the new property, and then you kind of keep deferring the taxes. And, you know, what I've seen with a lot of people is if you hold the capital gains all the way until when you die, you get a stepped up basis, meaning that all those capital gains are forgiven for your heirs, which is kind of the ultimate tax deferment strategy for forever. But one thing that I've seen, and I do want to ask you about, is with the changing market and the interest rates, how this goes into it, because I'm seeing this with residential homeowners and also with investors, where the higher rates are sort of freezing them in to the properties that they have, because, you know, they may be vested with a 3% loan in a property, and if they were to sell it to do a cash out refinance, even but even to sell it and do a 1031 into new property, they're looking at an 8% loan. So it becomes a lot more attractive to kind of freeze up where you are now. Have you encountered that problem in your investments, and is it something that we really should be worrying about with the higher rates?
You have to account for the higher rates, would be probably my way to say it, right? So when you're running your numbers, you just have to be real, and you have to plug that 8% cost of carrying that money. You might cringe when I say this, but you make the money on the buy. and that's definitely why I started working more and more at trying to get off-market deals, because I needed deeper discounts. Well, actually, I mean, the interest rates only just jumped really, really quickly, but it was inevitable. It had to happen. I thought it was going to happen in 2015. That's how good my crystal ball is. But anyone that thinks the time has passed, maybe this is a good time to say that, in real estate, it hasn't. You know, 6 months ago, we bought a property, single family home in downtown Denver at a 10% cap rate. You just have to be a little bit more patient. And that's probably a key at the moment too, is just being patient, being honest with all of the numbers that you run. 8%, put that in there. I would also say in that regard, maybe add a little extra on maintenance and things. In a year or two or 6 months, as that mortgage, as those interest rates hit the market, we'll see the cost of repairs come down significantly. I mean, we're seeing $100 an hour for handymen right now, which is very high. It wasn't long ago, it was $20. So yeah, maybe while we'll see, you know, rates go really high, we could start to bring down real numbers on expenditure. I can absolutely appreciate that a higher rate does hurt, and it makes it feel a lot harder, but there's still plenty of opportunity. I know that for sure. Yeah. Just takes a little longer to find.
And there is another Real Estate Law Podcast quick take. For the full episode, please go to YouTube or iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to or heard that quick take. We're also on realestatelawpodcast.com, where you can get all of our episodes and information about the show. On behalf of attorney broker Rory Gill, this is Jason Muth. Thank you for listening.